For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 381. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, live from the Sunshine State in spring training, my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's the great state of Florida?
It's hot. It was like 82 degrees today, so it was nice and warm. Sun's nice. Weird thing, though, went to, supposed to be the Pirates-Braves minor league spring training games, and the Braves didn't travel, so just watched Pirates inter squad, but it was good. Thomas Harrington pitched. There were some good guys. Saw some good things. Esmerlin Valdez was pretty interesting. I think he had second most homers in the Florida State League last year, and he looked pretty good. Just got to make some contact, but yeah, travel straight to the field, and you know, it's been good.
So Atlanta just didn't feel like playing today, or like what's going on?
I don't know why they didn't travel to the minor league team. No idea.
Interesting. But yes, still down there in Florida, good weather, watching live baseball. But it got a little warmer here today, though. It was like near 50 the last couple of days. You know, you're driving down the street with your windows down because we're crazy. And when it hits 50 here in Maine after the winter, it feels like 70. So it's getting warmer out there everywhere. And obviously, we're only about, you know, what, 6 days from the spring, not the spring breakout, the series over in Japan. We got spring breakouts, you know, this weekend. We got domestic regular season starting up in, what, about 2 weeks or so. It is baseball season. And we're going to talk some prospects today that have a chance of breaking camp. We'll kind of talk about if we think they will or not and, you know, what to expect from these guys. You know, we're not going to talk about the guys that are, like, obvious. Like, obviously, everyone knows Jason Dominguez will be in there and Dylan Cruz and all them. For the most part, these guys have not debuted yet. There's like one or two that have a little bit of a debut from last year, but maybe weren't thought of as being guys in the lineup or rotation for their teams this year, but might actually get a shot. So good little mix of players here. Before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg MILB. I'm at Eric Cross MLB. And our show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And make sure you check out all the great content available with RotoBaller's MLB Premium Pass. RotoBaller's VIP Draft Kit comes with exclusive rankings and ATC projections from Nick Mariano and Ariel Cohen. It also includes plenty of content from Chris and I. Sync your leagues with TeamSync to use our live draft assistant and get customized expert advice on for your league-specific settings. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use that discount code TOOLSHED for 10% off at checkout. All right, we'll start with Matt Shaw here in Chicago. It was just announced that he will be traveling with the team for that two-game series next week. Kind of everyone thought it was trending that way anyway, but obviously always nice to get the absolute news story coming out that he will in fact be on the team's opening day roster. And Matt Shaw, one of the top rookies in all of baseball, or in the top prospects in all of baseball, and one of the top fantasy rookies for this year, and got off to that slower start last year, but turned it on the last two thirds of the year. I think he went like 20-20 over the final like 3.5 months of the season or something like that. Finished with 21 home runs, 31 steals, 284, 379, 480 slash line in 121 games between Double A Tennessee and Triple A Iowa. Now that we got the confirmation, Chris, that Shaw will be the third baseman to start the season here, obviously that ADP is going to go up. I mean, it was I think like the 230 ish range. That's almost sure we got to go up inside that top 200. So do you think Shaw, let's say it's like in that 175 to 200 range now, do you think Shaw's worth that draft cost? And what are you expecting from him overall this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you look at Matt Shaw and what he brings to the table, it's a really high floor to hit. And I think I've said it a lot, but I don't think Shaw's like the flashiest player. Like, he's not going to come out and light the world on fire, but I do think Matt Shaw's going to be consistently good, just week over week, provide consistency. You look at an above average field to hit, he's got above average power, he's got speed. I think I wouldn't be shocked if he plays all year with the Cubs. I don't think it's crazy to say he hits 18-20 homers. He may steal 15 bases. I don't want to put too high of an expectations on steals yet, because we don't know his tendencies and what they'll be in the majors. But I also think he's going to come with a good average, and he's going to be in a good lineup. Now, where does he hit in that lineup is another question. If it's towards the bottom, like, your counting stats might not be there, but still, I think that you look at everything that Matt Shaw brings, and I think it's well-deserved. So, very happy for him, and think it's definitely a good move to go out and get him, especially at the draft price. I literally just got sniped on him in the Raslam cut line league, like it's in like best ball with a couple modified. He was taken 198. I was up at 199.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Shaw has always been, I was literally just on Fantasy Fest talking about it, where when it comes to elite prospects, that are ranked as elite prospects, he doesn't get talked about as much as the other elite prospects, just because, like you said, he's not flashy. But, flashy doesn't always, translate. He's one where doesn't have the one loud tool, doesn't have the massive power, massive speed, but just does so many things well, where you can just say, all right, he's above average across the board offensively. You mentioned good field to hit, good approach to play, above average power, above average speed. It does make me feel a little bit better. You mentioned about the stolen bases, which is very valid. Cubs were eighth in steals last year, which definitely makes you feel a little bit better about the stolen base total. But yeah, if he's 15 to 20 home runs, 15 to 20 steals, I mean, I think 2020 is certainly in play for Matt Shaw. And it's just a well-rounded five-category guy that doesn't really have any glaring red flags. You don't have to worry about the contact being terrible, and maybe the average isn't great, but you think it should be great, right? Like, just given what we've seen from him. So there's no glaring red flags, and there's no high K rate, nothing like that. So you're just a well-rounded five-category guy, and you got to get speed from a position that you don't usually get speed from. Yeah, obviously this Joe Ram, but outside of Joe Ram, there's not a lot of speed at that third base spot. So it's always a nice little added bonus there. And yeah, I think he's going to stick the whole season and be one of the top rookies for 2025 for sure. Let's go to a former Cub now with the Houston Astros, in Cam Smith, who's been hitting very well this spring. And looks like Houston is trying to get his bat into the lineup, or at least giving a realistic chance of that happening. I didn't think he'd be up this early, but obviously one of the more advanced bats in the minor leagues. They're even kind of looking at him in the outfield now, because that's the easiest path is out in that outfield. So given that they're trying that now, Chris, I mean, what chance do you think Cam Smith has of making this opening day roster? I mean, we talked about how good he was last week in the mailbag episode. But do you think he has a realistic chance to make this opening day roster?
I think a week ago I probably would have said it was crazy. But I actually don't think it's all that crazy anymore. Like, I look at what he's done. I look at this team, and I think there's a legit shot. I mean, they've been giving out Altuve his serious look in left field. Now, it is possible that Mauricio Dubon just plays second, and that's a real possibility. There's also a possibility that they put Isak Paredes at second. They could put Cam Smith at second. They've given Cam Smith work at third, second, in the outfield. Like, it seems to me that they want to get his bat in the lineup. And I'm willing to take a shot deep. I think in the Tout Wars draft and hold, I took Cam Smith in the 39th round. I mean, why not at that point? You're gambling anyway with whoever you take there in that spot. So I figured, well, why not take a shot on the upside? I mean, Smith has plenty of juice in the bat. He's got good contact skills. He's seen steady improvement. He just looks the part. Like, I think Smith could come up and make an impact, and it wouldn't be shocking to me a bit if he broke camp. I'd say right now it's probably still more 50-50, but, you know, every day that goes by, kind of seems like there's a real possibility here.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Like, I don't think there was any chance, you know, especially even when spring started. I was like, you know, I thought he'd be one of the quicker ones up from last year's draft class, just in general, but did not think we'd be talking on, you know, March 12th that Cam Smith has a realistic chance of breaking camp with this Houston team. But you mentioned, like, I always like to see, you know, teams, you know, what they're doing, like where they're playing these guys. Like I talked about with Dalton rushing last year when they're getting him looks in the outfield. I'm like, all right, when stuff like that happens, that kind of signals to me that this team is trying to see if, you know, if they do this, can they get this guy's bat in the lineup? So, yeah, definitely, like you mentioned, Smith playing multiple positions this spring. You know, I don't know how the Jose Altuve in left field thing, that's just still a very weird thing for me. I don't know how that's going to work out. But, you know, that's I just took Jacob Melton in that same Tout draft and hold in the 46th rounds. I think he's going to be up a good chunk of the season in that outfield. So, but yeah, Cam Smith, I'd say I'm still leaning no. I'm maybe more like 40-60 he breaks camp. But if not, I think this would be very early in the season, and you probably see him by the end of May at this point. And that right-handed bat in Houston and whatever that park is called now, I still can't remember what the heck that name is. Especially with a D, that's all I remember at this point. But yeah, Cam Smith, that's going to be a really fun bat and probably have more of a 2025 impact than we originally thought. But the other one in the American League West, Christian Moore, you know, it still kind of sounds like he's going to break camp with this Angels squad, which, again, I just don't think is the right move. But, hey, it's the Angels. They do their own thing out there in Los Angeles or Anaheim or wherever that ballpark actually is. But, you know, Chris, I don't know, maybe you're differing on this, you know, from my thought processes. I mean, why do you want to bring up Christian Moore now? Yeah, he's advanced, sure. Again, one of the guys you'd think would be one of the first ones up from that draft class. But what's the Angels, you know, like, why not give him some time in the upper minors? Let him, you know, let him hit well in double and triple A, and then bring him up midseason. I mean, you're still getting him up this year. You know, I know there's the incentives and all that stuff, but, like, this one just feels like it's going to be maybe not fall flat on his face, but there's still some issues with, you know, a little bit of swing and miss, a little bit of contact. So I just wonder if that's going to get him kind of eaten up alive by these major league pitchers, and that he's being optioned back down at June, you know, to the minors in, you know, mid-May when he's hitting, you know, .140 or something like that. So that's kind of my thought process here. I would say it's probably, I'll go the other way. I'll go 60-40 that Christian Moore breaks camp, and maybe that's a bit low, but I don't know. This is the one where I'm, like, not seeing eye to eye on, okay, the thought process with the Angels. But what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I'd lean more on the no that he doesn't break camp. But, again, it's the Angels, so we don't rule anything out with what the Angels do, because right, we know that they are very aggressive. But, you know, looking at the lineup, obviously, like, you've got some openings in it. Like, Neto's going to be out early in the year. Kevin Newman's slated at shortstop. Like, I mean, do they really want to start Newman? They can put Renjifo over at short, who is fine. Like, there was some injury scare. Renjifo is fine. Let him play shortstop. I mean, and Moore could play second. But is that really what you want? I mean, I think the best path for Moore is to let him develop in the minors. But again, like, where are they going to do that? We know the Angels don't like that. They skip everybody pretty much over high. They skip everybody on AAA. So are you just going to put him in AA Rocket City all year? Like, I don't know. I don't see that either. So it's a kind of a tough spot to be for Moore, but I lean more that he's probably down for a good portion of the season. But again, like, knowing the Angels, like, if they want to run at a draft pick, then, which would be beneficial to them, no doubt, then there's no point in bringing him up in the midsummer. Like, you just got to let him come up early and hope that it works out. So who knows? I lean that he doesn't break camp, but it is the Angels. So we do not know.
So you think there's a higher percent chance of Cam Smith breaking camp than Moore?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have said that before spring training.
Right? Yeah, I don't think anybody would have, but hey, that's how much things can change here in, you know, 3-4 weeks or so. But yeah, the Angels, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, just looking at this roster, it's like a lot of, like, let's throw something against the wall and see what sticks. I mean, obviously, Rendon's out again because he hates baseball. You know, Moncada still there. He's probably playing third. Kevin Newman. There's JD Davis, Tim Anderson, Mickey Moniak. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of like, all right, this guy was good at one point. Let's just see if they can be good again. It's probably not going to work out for the most part because it never does. But, I mean, outside of, you know, the top four in this lineup is solid. And, you know, if Trout gets it healthy, and then, you know, I like Ohapi and Shenwell is fine. Adele has a little bit of upside, but obviously risky. But yeah, it's like I see a path for it. Like you mentioned, if they want to just move Renjifo back to, you know, short and put Moore at second, I mean, that's the path right there. So we shall see. But yeah, I don't think if it does happen, I wouldn't be looking to draft him this year, even though he is still a very fun player long term. Let's go over to the Red Sox now. Now, Christian Campbell has had a really rough spring overall. The numbers are not good, but has looked a lot better over the last like week or so. Still not, you know, posting, you know, having great, like, you know, box score lines or anything like that, but just if you watch the games, then, you know, he just looks a lot more comfortable. He's not pressing nearly as much as he did early on in camp, and so I still think there's a shot he makes this opening day lineup. I mean, it could be at second base, it could be in left field. There's a lot of moving parts in Boston, you know, with Abreu starting the year on the IL. Is Devers going to be ready to play third, or is he going to DH? Probably DH to start the year. Well, that moves Bregman back over to third. That's only spot Bregman's played this spring. So second base is wide open. Is it Campbell? Is it Hamilton? Is it some combination of other players here? So I think there's still a shot. I'm still putting it at, you know, I lean like maybe 55-45, yes. I think there's a pretty good shot here. And I wouldn't take the spring stats, you know, seriously. I mean, you know, Campbell, again, was pressing. It was very obvious he was pressing. Very much a believer in what he did last year. So, you know, if he were to, you know, break camp, I still think he's going to be one of the top rookies this year. So I'm not worried about the spring performance whatsoever. What do you give Campbell here of breaking camp, Chris? Obviously, like I said, a lot of moving parts in Boston, a lot of X factors here, but how do you kind of think this whole situation shakes out?
Yeah, so my only hesitation is I wonder if the team wants him to be pretty confident when he makes his debut. And now that could happen. Like, we still have several weeks of spring training, so realistically, he could get hot and it work out. You know, and they bring him up and it works. He's working in the outfield. He's getting work in multiple places, which I do think is pretty important here. Now, he has picked it up. He's had hits in the last five games, which is good. Like, and he had to do that. He had to get confident and get going. So I kind of wonder if they just keep him down and want him to get, like, super hot in the minors. But again, they can make a run at the PPI pick. Anthony's not going to be ready for the season. I mean, he missed substantial time and lost, like, 10, 15 pounds of weight. I don't think he's going to be ready to debut with the team on opening day. But Campbell could be your guy. And you're not going to keep Campbell down in AAA, like, all year. So if you want to make it around the draft pick, he needs to be up in those first week and a half kind of window. So it is possible that the team gets weird. Let's say Devers isn't ready. Bregman's at third. And then they're rolling out David Hamilton at second for just a little while. But also you've got the outfield opening too. I mean, right now Rob Refsnyder's penciled in with Wilyer Abreu. He's definitely not going to be ready. I don't know. I would say that if Campbell has a good week, like if he has a good next 7 days, then I think that the chance is really there for him to break camp.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking, where there's still a lot to kind of hash out in Boston. Still, like I said, a lot of variables. Yeah, definitely not Anthony, because even if he didn't miss time and lose the weight, I still was saying no to Anthony. He's more like probably a May debut or something like that. But yes, it's absolutely no at this point. But yeah, I still think Campbell's in there. Kind of wait and see how the next week plays out. Still think he's going to be, worth drafting. Late round flyer for sure, though. Let's go from the Red Sox to the White Sox. The Chicago White Sox already optioned Colson Montgomery down, but maybe we see Kyle Teal or Chase Meidroth, two former Red Sox here, break camp with this team, or even just be up super early in the year. I mean, you look at this White Sox roster, and I mean, I think that you got Mike Tauchman, then you got Luis Robert and Andrew Vaughn. Then the bottom six might be the worst bottom six I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, right now, according to the roster resource, Brandon Drury, Josh Rojas, Miguel Vargas, Lennon Sosa, Travis Jankowski, who I forgot still existed, and Corey Lee are the bottom six. Corey Lee, not a good offensive catcher. He is a terrible offensive catcher. So, the path is there for Kyle Teal. It's just a matter of, when they bring him up. And, Chase Meidroth, maybe he can play second. He can play, I wouldn't put him at short. He's played short. Maybe second or third. Obviously, the elite contact, elite approach, not a lot of power speed, but it could be valuable in more valuable in a points format. So, when do you think we see either Chase Meidroth or Kyle Teal? And if yes, what do you think could be a good rookie season from them? Would you be looking to maybe draft them?
I think it's realistic that Teal could be the guy for a lot of the year. I don't know if that's a crazy take, but again, I just don't see them running out Corey Lee. Maybe they do. I mean, I guess it's possible. But like you said, that lineup's bad. They've got two non-roster invitees projected to start on roster resource and Brandon Drury and Travis Jankowski. I mean, Corey Lee and Matt Theis aren't going to hold down your catching position. I think Teal's ready. He's looked really good this spring. Very impressive across the board, which is good. And right now, you just look at the team, it's like, why not Kyle Teal? I wouldn't rule this one out, but again, it's the White Sox, so I am kind of ruling it out just because it's the White Sox. Here's the case for and here's the case against. The case for is that Teal will be the guy at some point in 2025. Teal is going to be the catcher in Chicago. So here's the case then to put him on the opening day roster. If you're going to bring him up anyway, he's going to burn prospect eligibility. Let him make a run at Rookie of the Year. Maybe that's crazy, but I think that for the White Sox is extremely, extremely valuable. I mean, we are talking about a team that's, for this summer at least, could not pick in the top 10, which they had the worst record ever, and they're not going to be picking in the top 10.
Yeah.
So they could use that extra bonus pool slot in 2026 for that draft. So letting Kyle Teal make a run, which maybe that's insane. I would say the chances of that happening are not super high, but it makes the most sense. There's going to be warts for these guys, all prospects that come up. It's going to be a complete throwaway year for the White Sox. So I'd say let Teal come up and play. Meidroth is interesting. He finally played the field for the first time all spring. There's been some concern with throwing arm. So he's hit. Obviously he's hit and he's been fine. He hasn't hit well. I mean, He's slugging 188. I don't care about spring training stats. Don't really matter. But yeah, I think the bigger thing is he fully healthy? And that's kind of my concern. I'm a little shocked they sent down Colson so soon. But again, they've kind of oddly showed their cards with Colson. Like, I still like Montgomery, but he should be still on this roster, in my opinion, vying for a roster spot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I 100% agree. And I thought he was going to make the team. I thought, you know, when we started camp, I'm like, yeah, this is a, you know, pretty good shot of Montgomery being the starting shortstop. But obviously, that's not going to happen. But I want to play a quick game with you, Chris. So according to Roster Resort, you know, the Fangraphs WAR projections, the number one player in this projected starting lineup is Luis Robert at a projected 3 WAR. Who do you think is second in projected WAR on this team?
Is it Mike Talkman?
He's actually third at 1.4. Number two is at 1.7, and it's Miguel Vargas.
Oh, wow.
I actually don't even want anything to do with Luis Robert. I love, like, Robert's my guy. I love Robert, but I'm done. I got to take a break from Robert, and he's probably going to have a healthy year and have another, like, you know, 38, 20 year. But, you know, I don't want him. I think the only White Sox I'm going to have, I already do have multiple shares of this guy, is Sean Burke, who obviously already debuted last year. But I like Burke a lot as a late round flyer this year. But outside of him, you know, this team is really, really bad in terms of options to draft, unless you want to go top 100 on Luis Robert, or you still like Andrew Vaughn for some reason. But yeah, this definitely use some youth injection here, and you'll still get Montgomery at some point early in this year, and we'll get Teal for a lot of the season. So definitely needed there in Chicago.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
All right, next up here, let's go down to Miami. Agustin Ramirez and Davison De Los Santos. Ramirez hit a nice home run the other day, and you know, almost like it's not quite as bad as the White Sox lineup here, but this Miami lineup is going to be very, very bad as well. You know, looking at starting line of Edwards, Norby, Jesus Sanchez, then this goes off the rails after that. Jonah Bride, Matt Mervis, Otto Lopez, Kyle Stowers, Dane Myers, and Nick Fortes. So, corner infield, you know, Matt Mervis, you know, was fun a couple years ago. We know what Matt Mervis is. So, you know, you get that first base spot wide open for De Los Santos, and you get the catcher spot wide open for Agustin Ramirez. Do you think either of these two breaks camp, Chris? Yeah, I think it's a better chance for Ramirez, and I'm much, much higher on Ramirez than I am on Davison, like I mentioned various times. Like, yeah, the power's from the Davison, and we've seen him take, you know, live and just hitting absolute nukes, but contact skills are very much a concern. Numbers are bloated because he was playing in Amarillo and Reno, two of the most hitter-friendly ballparks in all of the minor leagues last year. We're very much more pedestrian numbers once he went over to Jacksonville after that trade. But what do you think on Ramirez, Davison? You think either one cracks the lineup, and what are your thoughts on their kind of impact for this year?
I think Ramirez has a decent chance, one, because he's on the 40-man roster, and two, that team doesn't have catchers. I mean, Nick Fortes, not good, and I'd be shocked if Liam Hicks has not returned to Detroit. Rule 5 pick, just don't see him sticking on this roster, so I think Ramirez has the intangibles. He's got the power. He's on the 40-man. You know, let him roll and see what he can do. Davison's also on the 40-man. I mean, big power. The approach really needs to be cleaned up with Davison. But also, like, you're looking at Augustin Ramirez, and he's 23 and a half. Like, he's spent time in the minors. He looks ready. I mean, Davison is 21, so I think he still needs a little more time to clean things up in the minors. If he can clean up the approach a little bit, make a little more contact. So I'd say Ramirez is one to watch out for here.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I remember seeing him when he came through Double A, and you know, he was absolutely, like, quality of his bat. He was just hitting everything hard. Saw him probably 5 or 6 times that year when Somerset came here to Portland, and yeah, he was a really impressive guy to watch hit. So could be a guy that hits for a solid average, good OBP, and you know, be a power source at that catcher position, which is where he's going to be. And there was some thought he might go to first base, but Miami used him only a catcher last year, so I think that's definitely his future path there. I like Ramirez a lot, and yeah, definitely has some concerns with Davison de los Santos. I won't be having any shares this year. Let's wrap it up with another catcher here in the National League East with Sean Murphy hurt right now, going to miss the start of the season. You're going to see Drake Baldwin in that Atlanta lineup here. As obviously, it wasn't going to be, as we we both mentioned, it wasn't going to be Chadwick Tromp. So they have, they didn't bring anybody else in. We thought they might, bring in a veteran off the scrap heap, but that hasn't happened yet. And so it looks like it's going to be Drake Baldwin hitting 7th, 8th, or something like that in that lineup. What are your expectations for Drake Baldwin, a catcher and prospect who's got, starting to get a good amount of hype around him now, deservedly so?
Yeah, and he's got a lot of buzz internally too. The organization speaks very highly of him. His teammates speak very highly of him. And I think that, it's his spot to fill. I'm fairly confident they go ahead and add him. He's on the 40 man, but he's 24 years old. He's advanced. He checks a lot of boxes. I mean, you look at the underlying data, super good across the board. I just think that, what Baldwin brings to the table from a bat standpoint is really, really impressive. And I think that he's going to put together a solid year. I mean, he's improved behind the plate. It's not like he's going to be a standout defensive catcher, but that's okay because I do think the bat will be good. And Murphy's going to return, and this is going to be interesting. Like, at that point when Murphy returns, do you keep Baldwin on the bench and he only plays a couple days a week, or is he better suited playing in AAA every day? So yeah, I would say I'm pretty confident Baldwin is going to break camp, but does he play all year? One, Murphy can't stay healthy, so that's obviously a factor too to watch out for, but I think it's an interesting situation. I love Drake Baldwin's bat, and I think it's one to bet on.
Yeah, I would love to say that he can stay in the lineup all year, even when Murphy's back, but that's just not realistic. I wish it was, but it's like, oh, you can put him at DH. Nope, Marcel Ozuna's in that spot, and you can't really move. If only Drake Baldwin could play shortstop, right? I mean, that'd be fill that spot that Orlando Arcia is currently taking up. But yeah, I love Baldwin. I think he's my third ranked catching prospect right now, behind Basayo and Ramirez. Maybe fourth. I can't remember. I might have somebody else ahead of him. He's right in the same range as Kyle Teal, and Teal gets talked about a lot, and now Baldwin finally is. I mean, the blend of contact and power, solid approach, it's all there. So I think he's going to be a guy that maybe he's a back-end starting fantasy catcher one day. I think the upside is definitely there. But, all right, let's go over to some pitchers now. We got, how many names we got in here? 7 names. Starting with Jackson Jobe. Yeah, he, debuted last year, but, it's pretty crowded rotation now in Detroit, now that they brought back Jack Flaherty, which was kind of an uncertainty. Casey Mize has stepped up and was maybe been one of the most impressive pitchers in all of spring training right now. Obviously, former number one overall pick, so I think they'll definitely give him a shot. So now it's like, all right, do they go with the old veteran in Kenta Maeda, who's been very up and down this spring, or do they, give it to Jackson Jobe right away, or do they put him in AAA and want him, pitch a little bit there and then bring him up? When do you think we see Jobe, and maybe how many innings do you think he throws this year?
I mean, I think they'd be crazy not to put him on the opening day roster. I know it's
Agreed.
Tight. Like, you look at how does the fit work, but I think this would be nuts. Casey Mize resurgence this spring obviously has played a factor in this. You've got those top three guys locked in with Skubal, Flaherty, and Reese Olson. And then Kenta Maeda, who has had some moments where he's looked all right and other moments where he hasn't. I just think that they've already started Joe's clock. Like, he came up last year. It would be crazy to not have him on the opening day roster in some role. Even if he's coming out of the bullpen for a little bit, I just think that you have to have him on the roster, make a run at that. And I feel like I'm just repeating myself, but, like, make a run at Rookie of the Year. Like, he's legitimate shot at that. Like, Job's that kind of pitcher where he is that good. So, I don't know. I think that Maeda is tough, but I think that we see Job ultimately on that roster.
Yeah, I think we did too. I do think they limit him in some way, though. So maybe that's, you know, skipping him every, you know, third, fourth time through, or maybe there's a couple of starts where maybe him and Maeda piggyback each other or something like that, just to keep the innings in check. I think they want Jackson Job pitching in, you know, September, October, obviously. I think this AL Central is wide open. Detroit absolutely could make a run at this division and another postseason appearance. You know, good young overall roster that's getting better. You know, so this rotation could be actually really, really good this year. Lineup's looking pretty solid too. So, yeah, I think they want Joe pitching in September. So I do think they keep him and limit him throughout, you know, April through like August or so before they fully unleash him in September, October. But yeah, I'd say probably, you know, I'm kind of feeling like 110, 120 regular season innings, something like that. So I think they'll probably use Maeda in some way. But yeah, Job is going to be the guy for most of the season here. And I think he'd absolutely make a run at being the, you know, best non-rookie Sasaki pitching prospect, you know, this year for redraft purposes. So yeah, definitely think it's going to be Job there. Next one on the list here, Kumar Rocker, looks like he's going to get the last spot in that Texas Rangers rotation. Obviously, it's been a very up and down kind of roller coaster last, you know, 3-4 years or so for Rocker, even playing some, you know, independent ball along the way. And maybe we see Jack Leiter in that rotation too. I think Leiter's got a shot, though he's been up and down this spring as well. So do you think, you know, obviously a lot of injury risk in this Texas rotation. I mean, I don't think any of their, you know, projected five are a lock to make 30-plus starts or even 20-plus starts for that matter. Maybe, you know, outside of maybe like Eovaldi, but you're looking at DeGrom, Eovaldi, John Gray, Tyler Molly, and then, you know, Bradford's going to be on the IL with some, you know, elbow soreness. So it's going to be maybe Leiter, maybe Kumar Rocker. You know, do you think Rocker gets that fifth spot? That's kind of where I'm leaning, but, you know, Leiter, I think, is in the mix at least. Obviously, I like Rocker a lot more than I like Jack Leiter. So how do you think that kind of fifth spot in the Texas rotation pans out? And, you know, assuming it's Rocker, what do you think we see from him this year?
Yeah, I mean, I just watched Jack Leiter walk five batters. Like,
that's always the issue. That's always the issue with him.
I don't know. People are hyping Jack Leiter to like no end this spring, but I don't know. I'm not there. I think Rocker's more ready. I think he's the better arm. So it wouldn't shock me if it's him. I think that it's a real possibility that with Bradford, you know, being shut down, I don't know. They've got a lot of options. I think they're going to, the interesting thing with Rocker is the workload. Like, he's certainly going to have to be managed this year. So that's a factor that plays into this. And I think probably an underrated factor. Like, we want to push Rocker in the rotation, but they could go a variety of ways to try to manage his innings. Do I think that Rocker is the best arm between like the others vying for a spot like Leiter or Adrian Houser or a Dane Dunning? Yeah, absolutely. But the workload management comes into play here, and I'm curious how that shakes out. So we'll see. I mean, I would put Rocker in, but he's going to have his innings managed for sure.
Now, who has the better 2025 fantasy, Job or Rocker?
I'm just more confident in Job getting the innings.
Yeah, that's fair. I think they're all going in a similar range ADP wise. Like that 250 to 300 range for ADP is actually really, really fun. A lot of the, you know, top rookies are going in there, especially on the pitching side. So I'd definitely be okay taking Rucker in that range too, because the upside's there. We've seen him, that slider, it's absolutely filthy. So yeah, I think he makes, you know, 20 plus starts. You know, I am more confident in Jobe, though. Yes, I'll lead in Jobe as well, but it wouldn't surprise me either if Rucker outpitched him this year. It's because Rucker's got the, you know, plenty of upside in his own right. Go over to Colorado here, and your boy, Chase Dolander. Now, this Colorado rotation, per usual, is a hot mess. You know, they're getting old pal Herman Marquez back into the mix, but current five on roster resources: Marquez, Ryan Feltner, Kyle Freeland, Antonio Senzatella, and Bradley Blaylock. So not an overly difficult rotation to break into, but do you think Dolander's in their opening day? What percent chance do you put on that?
I think it's like a 60% chance, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody wants to acknowledge that the team that at the winter meetings, their GM said that they wanted Dolander to have a legit shot to win a rotation spot. And I get it. It's GM talk. They ask a question about it. But, and then this spring, they keep saying that there's a legitimate chance that Dolander makes a team, and nobody wants to say it's a possibility. I think it's a real possibility here. I would not be shocked at all if Chase Dolander breaks camp with the team. Bradley Blaylock, he can go to the bullpen and work there. That's a sneaky good bullpen, by the way. And Blaylock probably makes it one of the better bullpens. One of the more underrated bullpens in baseball. There's a lot of talent potential there for sure. And Dolander could slot right in. I know that he's not on the 40-man. He needs to work through things. But again, he's ready. Like, he's got the stuff. Like, he's not going to get much better from a pure stuff standpoint. He's going to have to learn to pitch in Colorado. I think there's a 60% or better chance that Dolander breaks camp.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. And why not, right? Like, he's got to get used to it at some point. Why not do it now? You know, obviously, advanced collegiate arm. No need to really waste a ton of bullets with him in the minor leagues. So, yeah, I think, and he's one where, you know, ADP for him, I mean, is way lower than all these other arms. Like, you know, there's what than the Rucker range, the Jobe range. He's like, I think Dolander, last time I looked, was like 500 and something on ADP on NFBC, which is just crazy. I'm pulling it up right now. So let's just go draft champion drafts. Let's go since like February 1st. So getting the last like 6 weeks or so of drafts. See if he's in the top 500 now for ADP. Let's see here. Quick search. 582. I mean, he's
going to draft him there every single draft.
Yeah, well, let me just sort this to be just pitchers. I was supposed to see some of the pitching names around him. I mean, none of them are going to have nearly the upside of Dolander. All right, so the five names before him and the five names after him. Before, it's Matt Waldron, Mitch Spence, Caden Dana, who I actually do like, but Jose Leclerc and Brent Harder. Five names after him: Jose Ferrer, Sarah Anthony Dominguez, Miles Mikolas, Colin Ray, and Kevin Ginkle. So it's, you know, Thomas Arrington's on that range too. He might get a shot at Pittsburgh soon, but yeah, definitely that is a steal. And he hasn't gone higher than 412 in any of these drafts over this time frame. So yeah, I think you're going to see the ADP start to rise here. I got a feeling over the next couple of weeks leading up to opening day. Next up here, maybe a sneaky name here with Logan Evans in Seattle with George Kirby, you know, going to be missing some time, it looks like. So, you know, what do you think of Logan Evans maybe getting a chance here? Obviously, Emerson Hancock also in the mix, but pretty underwhelming. Do you think there's a shot we see Logan Evans get that open spot in that rotation?
I would love that. That would be my preference, is for them to go with Evans. Is he ready to be in the rotation? I don't know. I just don't see a reason to put Emerson Hancock out there. Like, we know who he is at this point. And yeah, I mean, he's a fifth guy. He's whatever. He's kind of penciled in. He's fine, but I mean, he's not going to inspire much confidence. And you look at this roster, obviously those five before the injury, like, that was probably the best rotation in baseball. And Logan Evans is not on the 40 man, so that is going to be a factor here. But the reality is none of their starting pitching prospects are on the 40 man other than Blas Castano, who I don't see being the guy. I mean, Evans started last year. He also pitched in relief last year. I think he's the natural one to give a shot, but they have some depth in the minors. But I think that you look at Logan Evans, he might be the most ready that also brings plenty of talent to the table. I just don't look at this picture and say like Hancock, it's kind of boring as what he is. I would love to see him go with Evans, but I think they're going to go with Hancock.
Yeah, I do think it's Hancock too. Yeah, Evans is definitely more fun. I don't think there's any question about that, but yeah, I think you've already seen Hancock a little bit here in the major leagues. I think they'll just go with if it was a more long-term thing for Kirby, maybe they go a different route, but just as like a short-term fill-in, I do think it's going to be Emerson Hancock, but definitely a name to keep an eye on there with Logan Evans. Over to Milwaukee now with Jacob Mizierowski, who has looked really good and really bad this spring at times, which is basically the Jacob Mizierowski experience in a nutshell. I would have given a better, chance of him breaking camp with this team before they signed Jose Quintana. So he might factor in, the 36-year-old veteran there. Better on the block a time or two, and he's been, relatively okay throughout his career. So probably Quintana taking that fifth spot behind Savali, Nestor Cortes, Tobias Myers, and, of course, Freddie Peralta. Yeah, and then you got Brendan Woodruff factoring in at some point as well. So Mizierowski, Chris, has the stuff of an ace, but downside because of the, below average, and that's putting it nicely, command and control, makes him just such a maddening prospect to roster right now. Do you think he has any shot this opening day roster, even if it is in a bullpen role? Kind of what do you see from him this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say that he can't be on this opening day roster in some form or fashion. The stuff is there. I mean, it's arguably some of the best stuff in the minors. Yeah, he struggled with walks. He still struggled with walks this spring, which is certainly an issue, but the stuff is really good. They let him go three innings his last time out, which was interesting to me. I had, based on the comments, I had kind of assumed he was just going to be in the bullpen this year in the majors, but if they want to stretch him out and try to make him a starter, the most logical starting point is probably AAA, just given, again, the rotation that you mentioned here and the depth that they do have. But I would not be shocked if he was in the major league bullpen, even if that was as soon as opening day.
Yeah, I really struggle with this one with Mizierowski, just in general, if I think he's going to be a starter or reliever long term. I hope he can figure out the walks enough, get it down to like 10-11%, because the stuff is so good. Like, I think if you ranked pitching prospects just on stuff alone, I think easily top five for Mizierowski. Like, he's in that discussion for best stuff of any pitching prospect in the game right now, and that's putting him up there with the Bubba Chandlers, with the Jobes, with the Painters, with the Dolanders, etc. Yeah, he's right on par with those guys, but obviously the downside is far lower than the downside with the other four that I just mentioned. So that's why he doesn't get ranked up there anymore, but still a really fun arm when he's on. The stuff is absolutely filthy. So I don't know. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach with him this year. I'm not going to have any shares. And, if it bites me, that's fine. Like, this situation where I'm okay if it bites me and he kind of exceeds my expectations for this year. But, Mizierowski, I do think he probably starts the year in AAA. We got two more, one from each New York team. Brennan Sproat, who I tweeted this out probably in, December, January, I forget when it was, before spring training, that's for sure. But, I thought even before all these injuries that Sproat was going to see a decent amount of time with the Major League squad this year, just because it was a really risky rotation, even with all the money they spent this offseason, obviously with Soto being a big chunk of that. But for a team with that, level of payroll, it was kind of a, riskier rotation. And you're already seeing guys go down. Manaya has a strained oblique. Frankie Montas, strained lat. Christian Scott's out for the year with Tommy John. So the current projected five are Kodai Senga, who missed time last year, David Peterson, you never know what you're going to get from that guy year to year, month to month even. You know, Clay Holmes, who's converting from a reliever. He's looked good this spring. Tyler McGill, again, kind of like Peterson, fun, but who knows what you get from him. And then Griffin Canning. So, you know, Brendan Smart, I think, has a legit shot to, you know, I'd say it's sub 50% he breaks camp with this team, but I still think he's going to be up with the Mets more than he's going to be in AAA this season. Obviously, you know, a top 10 or borderline top 10 pitching prospect there. So, I don't know. Do you think Sproat has any chance of maybe, you know, beating out a Griffin Canning for that number five spot in the Mets rotation?
Maybe not initially, but I do think that we'll see significant time of Sproat in the majors. He's looked really, really good. I like Tyler McGill. Canning has shown some okay things. I don't know. I mean, obviously with those injuries, once Manaea and Matos come back, like, depending on when they come back, you know, it could get interesting. But I do think Sproat could find his way in. He's not going to sit in AAA all season, I'll tell you that. And he's made some necessary tweaks, and he's looked better this spring from an Arsenal standpoint. So I am pretty intrigued. But unfortunately, I don't think he's in the opening day rotation despite the intrigue. And I think that the time will come soon, but probably not on opening day.
Yeah, so I don't think there's a, you know, 50% chance or anything, sub 50%. I'd probably say 25% chance. I'm not ruling it out, but I like Sproat a lot, and I think he's going to be a pretty fun fantasy arm to roster this year. So definitely one to you know, keep an eye on, keep on your radar, and you know, pick him up when he does get called up. Last one here, you know, Will Warren with the New York Yankees. Yeah, he already debuted last year, but wasn't really thought to be in the mix for a rotation spot this year. At least not to start the season. But now you got Luis Gil out for a bit and Gerrit Cole out for the entire season. So, all right, looks like Will Warren is going to make this rotation. You know, Marcus Stroman kind of jumps back in. And Warren's looked pretty darn good this spring. He had a down year last year, but still had you know, decent amount of upside here. Maybe he's not as buzzy as, you know, Dolander and all these other names we've talked about, or even a Brendan Sproat. But I think Will Warren could play a role this year and be fantasy viable. So, you know, do you think there's any chance it's not? I mean, it looks like it should be Will Warren. I'm not quite sure who else would really factor into this rotation right now. They're kind of ransacked by injuries. So I feel like it's like 90% chance it's going to be Will Warren. Do you share that optimism? And what do you think we could see from him this year?
Yeah, I think that it is Warren. He got his, I mean, he was not good last year when he came up, and, you know, it was a major struggle. But I do think Warren has kind of turned the page on that. He's looked like a different pitcher this spring, and throughout his career, Warren's shown flashes of being a really solid starter. And I think this season is kind of, or this spring is kind of shown that he's capable of moving past it. That sweeper looks really, really good. He's mixing the sinker better. Four seams working. Like, he's working the whole arsenal. He's missing bats. He's sequencing better. He's commanding better. So, like, Warren's kind of checking all the boxes that you want to see from a pitcher. And, yeah, I certainly agree. I think he's the guy, and I think he's going to be in for a really good year. I'm trying to draft him pretty much everywhere I can because I really do buy the profile.
Yep, so do I. I mean, maybe they go Carlos Carrasco, who they signed last month, but I doubt it. Like I said, I'd say it's 90%+ chance it's Will Warren. And, yeah, he's looked really good this spring. So you got to take minor league numbers with a grain of salt, you know, most of the time, because a lot of times these guys are pitching differently than their surface stats would say. And, yeah, it was rough for him last year, minors and majors. But Warren, you know, not a stud long-term, not like a top-of-the-rotation guy, but could he be like a solid SP4 long term? Yeah, I think that's kind of what we're looking at with Will Warren, and he'll get a chance to show that early on this year. So, yeah, I think he's a good late round flyer this year for redraft leagues. And that's going to wrap us up. A lot of fun names to talk about here. We'll hopefully get some more clarity on these guys over the next week or so leading up to the start of the season. But that's going to wrap us up for this episode. We will be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you've got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get them.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.